Thanks for tuning in to WNCW. My name's Martin, and it is a Monday morning. That means we got some Doc Watson coming your way. And every once in a while, we can kind of have a special 10 o'clock Doc, whether it's for, you know, an anniversary or some such thing. Sometimes we have some guests around that new Doc and Merle back in the day. And we actually have that going on for this hour. I was pleased to see the Dillards were added to the lineup to play the Gray Eagle in Asheville. That is tonight. Rodney Dillard and his wife, Beverly Cotton Dillard, join us here this morning at WNCW.
Good morning, Martin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're the perfect host for this show because Monday's always kind of a slow day for everyone. And you're like a bubble person. You just, you know, you're bright.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I keep the pace of slow because,
no.
You know.
I don't know where you get all that energy.
Coffee, just like you're drinking.
Yeah.
It's the WNCW Mountain Morning Blend.
That's it.
Hey, thanks for coming in here. And you all are on a bit of a tour around the country. I don't know, you've been, is this the beginning of a tour?
This is, I was one of the last few folks on the Andy Griffith show. So I'm on my world tour, his Last Man Standing, Get Me While You Can tour.
That's right. That's a good name. That's a good name. Does it all fit on the concert poster?
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Get Me While You Can tour.
I have been fortunate enough to, at my age, to go out and play and keep my passion alive for the music,
good.
You know.
Yeah.
And I've just been blessed with that. And, of course, marrying this North Carolinian here as an old-time picker, it all works together.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I look forward to talking a lot about the Dillards and the Darlings and just the great country rock traditions that you all have spawned. We're about to launch into a little Doc Watson set, and we actually have a real legend of Clawhammer Banjer here, don't we, Rodney? We have wonderful...
You mean me?
Yes! Yeah. Talking about you, Beverly. Way back in the day, we're bringing some Clawhammer Banjer to the stage with various folks, including Doc and Merle and a whole lot of folks.
Well, I'll kind of give folks a quick synopsis of what she's like. She's a terrible cook.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. That's a bad joke. I met her in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada at a big worldwide music festival. And I didn't know who she was until I saw her on this stage with this. She weighed about 120 pounds in this long flowing black hair and a white dress, teaching thousands of people how to clog on stage with her banjo. And I said, woo.
Yeah, impressive.
I said, well.
It was love at first sight on his part.
Of course, yes. So you, I guess, a founding member of the Greengrass Cloggers?
Yes, way back in the day at East Carolina University, there was this bunch of hippies dancing, and I thought, you know, I used to do that because little town of Marsville, all we had on the Saturdays was a square dance in the volunteer fire department.
Yeah.
And my grandfather played fiddle, and I was like, I used to do this. So I got to know the couple people that were starting it, and we started dancing. And, I mean, we went all over the place. In fact, after I got a master's degree, I worked for 1 year up Hillsville, Virginia, above Mount Airy. And okay. I took that job so I could drive down the mountain and learn to play more banjo from Tommy Gerald.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Well, I mean... Sounds cliche, but yeah, what was it like to learn from Tommy Gerald back in the day? We're talking, I don't know.
This was the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking how old I am. Yes, this was the 70s. He was wonderful. You know, he got a presidential award, and he's in the Smithsonian, and a lot of it was for teaching all of us kids. We'd just stop in. His door was always open. He would play, teach, feed you, and his little house in Toast, just outside Mount Airy.
Okay, I always hear about Mount Airy, but it was Toast.
Toast,
actually.
The community of Toast.
Okay.
Tell him about the scooping out the band.
Oh, yeah, he told me, well, he sent me up to Kyle Creed up the mountain with my first banjo, and he says, now, you need to play up here on the neck, because if you play there, you'll never play anywhere else.
Oh.
And that's the Mount Airy Galax style that you see now. Even companies making banjos, big companies, will scoop the neck. But that's where that started. Those guys played up there, and they just put a tall bridge. And I did that for a little while, but, man, my fingers, it was so hard to climb the mountains of the strings with a tall bridge. And so they scooped it out for me. Just took, you know. And then you play up there, and you get a much sweeter sound, and you get that pop that was from that area. Yeah. That's the typical sound from anyone that played in that area.
Yeah. That old Clarence Ashley pop.
Yes.
And I was told, well, you know, square dances, sometimes, you know, there are a lot of feet on those floors and you couldn't hear all the time, but you heard the pop like a drum. And that was how people kept the rhythm.
Okay, yeah, yeah, real, very percussive.
Yeah.
And so work with Tommy Jarrell and Ola Bell Reed, too.
Yes.
Another favorite of ours.
She was my favorite. And she was from North Carolina, of course, and moved up to the Oxford, Pennsylvania area, like they all did for work back then. And she taught me, and I'd stay with her, and I'd take her riding in a car, and she would remember words and start singing. And I toured with them for a while, with Ola Bell and Bud.
Yeah.
Actually, I was married into the family for a short while.
Oh, okay.
Before I met Rodney.
All right.
And so I toured with them, and she was just a wonderful person. In fact, she gave me her dresses that she wore on the album covers that I'm going to give to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, you're kidding.
The big white dress with the huge black polka dots that were on their most famous albums and stuff.
To which Hall of Fame?
Well, I'm talking to the North Carolina people. I was going to do it in Nashville, but when I did a Women in Old Time Music thing in Mount Airy last year and met some of the people from the state, of course, I knew a lot of the people that were kids, and now they run the folk life stuff. You know, they all grew up.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to put it in a North Carolina museum.
Oh, that's great. We're talking with Beverly Cotton Dillard and Rodney Dillard. They are in town for the Dillard's show tonight at the Gray Eagle in Asheville. I think that show starts at 8 o'clock. And why don't we launch into some Doc or Merle, and we should probably get to some Clarence Ashley, too, since you mentioned that, Rodney. And we'll hear, starting with something from Doc and Clarence. And so you, Beverly, you knew Merle and Doc pretty well.
Yes. Well, I saw them at a lot of festivals, and I actually learned a lot of my dancing from Willard Watson, Doc's cousin that lived just around the bend, and I'd go up and visit with Willard, and I got to know Doc and Merle and Rosalie a lot better, and went out with Merle for a while, and then we were just really good friends, and I loved going up to the house and hanging out, and Merle showed me once he had a harp. You wouldn't think of Merle as playing a harp.
As in an Irish harp?
Yeah. You stand up, you know, the stand-up kind, and he was wanting to learn that because he thought it was really beautiful. And he would take me riding in this old car that Doc had. And when we played Merle Fest, Doc told me what it was, but I forgot. But we would ride along these dirt roads, and I'd play the banjo, and I felt like we were Bonnie and Clyde.
That's a good image to have.
Tell about Willard Watson sings. He has the wisdom of the Greeks.
Oh yes. He'd say, "Youngin', you live and learn, and you die and forget it all."
Oh, man. That's profound.
And he would characterize moonshine. He'd say, now, because he used to make it legally, you know, up at the Washington, the mall, big mall festival in D.C., and so where they'd show the arts, you know.
Okay.
And he said, moonshine, he said, it'll make you talk to your neighbor if you hadn't spoken to him in years. It'll make you walk up to the church, knock on the door, and says, "Who lives here?"
Willard Watson,
yes.
Doc's cousin, huh?
Doc's cousin.
First cousin?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
And Willard played banjo, and Doc, in fact, I've sat there with Doc Willard playing banjo. Cousin Sally Brown, he taught me on the banjo. And that's what I was playing the first time you ever saw me. And and then Doc would play guitar, and they'd sit around, and his wife would make biscuits on a wood cook stove. And, she was a quilt maker. And
yeah.
Ori Watson, yeah.
Oh, boy.
They would go into McDonald's. Oh, this is great.
This is what I told Doc. We were talking about it on stage at Merlefest, and I said, I would go with them to McDonald's, and they love McDonald's. That's when, you know, McDonald's was kind of new. But Rosalie would bring her own pie. And so for dessert, we'd have homemade pie, and I said, I think you started the tradition of pies, you know, the little pies they sell at McDonald's, because they didn't have them then.
Aha, uh-huh. Yep, they got them at some point.
Yeah.
Well, then thanks, Rosalie, for those.
Yes.
All right. And with that, let's turn to Doc Watson and Clarence Ashley, and then talk a whole lot more and hear some good Dillard's tunes from Beverly Cotton Dillard and Rodney Dillard. They are here this morning on WNCW.
Blue Ridge Mountain Birds. Monday morning. I'm gonna leave here Monday morning. I'm gonna leave here Monday morning. Oh, I never expect to see you anymore. My home's across Blue Ridge Mountain. My home's across Blue Ridge Mountain. My home's across Blue Ridge Mountain. Oh, I never expect to see you anymore. Like the Tennessee Stud. Drifted on down into no man's land. We crossed that river called the Rio Grande. I raced my horse with a Spaniard's foal till it got me a skin full of silver and gold. Then me and a gambler, we couldn't agree. We got in a fight over Tennessee. We jerked our guns and he fell with a thud, and I got away on the Tennessee Stud. That wrestler was fast too. The Tennessee Stud was long and lean, the color of the sun, and his eyes were green. He had the nerve and he had the blood, and there never was a horse like the Tennessee Stud. Got just as lonesome as a man can be, a dreaming of a girl in Tennessee. The Tennessee Stud's green eyes turned blue, cause he was a dreaming of a sweetheart too. So we loped right back across Arkansas. I whooped her brother and I whooped her pa. And when I found that girl with the golden hair, she was a riding on the Tennessee mare. Oh, now. Tennessee Stud was long and lean, the color of the sun, and his eyes were green. He had the nerve and he had the blood, and there never was a horse like the Tennessee Stud. Jump in there, boy. to stirrup, and side by side we crossed the mountains and the valleys wide. Came to Big Muddy, then we forded a flood on the Tennessee mare and the Tennessee stud. They were sure good horses. There's a pretty little baby on the cabin floor, a little horse coat playing around the door. I love that girl with the golden hair, and that Tennessee stud loves a Tennessee mare. The Tennessee stud was long and lean, the color of the sun, and his eyes were green. He had the nerve and he had the blood, and there never was a horse like the Tennessee stud. Mama don't like that music, play around here. Well, we don't tell our mama no lie, I'll pick just one more tune in here. Mama didn't like that music, play around here. Mama don't like no harmonica played in here. Mama don't want no harmonica played around here. Well, we don't care what our mama don't lie, play a little harmonica in here. Mama didn't like that harmonica played around here. Let's play it together now, Bill. Mama don't want no bluegrass picking in here. Mama don't want no bluegrass guitar played in here. Merle don't care what mama don't want, he's gonna hit the bluegrass like he's doing in here. Mama don't like that bluegrass played in here. Pat down, son, then put it back together. Taste more, taste more. Said mama didn't want no bass romping in here. Mama don't like that bass thumping in here. Mama don't care what mama don't like, gonna pick on the bass strings anyhow. Mama don't like that, play that bass right here, son.
Didn't care what mama didn't allow. Mama don't allow from Doc and Merle Watson from back in 1974 out in San Francisco. And that's where that Tennessee stud was recorded as well. And we started off with Doc and Clarence Ashley on WNCW, My Home's Across the Blue Ridge Mountains. I'm Martin Anderson, wrapping up at 10 o'clock, Doc, with some conversation with some folks that knew Doc and Merle back in the day and all the various cousins and such from up in Deep Gap. We've got Rodney Dillard and Beverly Cotton Dillard joining us here because the Dillards are playing tonight in Asheville at the Gray Eagle in Asheville. And you know, every Monday morning we have Doc on our minds, and some of us have maybe seen him play, some of us maybe got to shake his hand, but not as many of us got to have some experiences of just actually sitting down and picking with him, like both of you have done.
I remember the first time I ever met Doc, this entrepreneur of mountain folk. Collectors. We are all at his place. It was a place called the Ash Grove in California. Mm. It was the petri dish of folk culture and politics. And, of course, I was just a young kid out of the Ozark Mountains to come in there. And I would down there would hang out, and people would come up to me and say, what do you think of the existentialist dilemma? And I'd say, no, I was raised Presbyterian. But it was very interesting. But that's where I met Clarence Ashley.
Okay.
And, boy, I just loved his sound. And, you know, that Beverly has that pop like Clarence did on the—
when she plays her Clawhammer banjo.
And Fred Price. I don't know if anybody remembers Fred Price.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't he on that album Dance All Night with a Bottle in Your Hand? Was that Fred?
Yes. He recorded with Tommy Gerald. And
Tommy
Clarence,
Gerald on that. But one time Doc and I were working, I think it was Cleveland or Cincinnati someplace, and we had our amps at the time, and he walked in and said, could I see your amps? I said, yeah, Doc, you can see our amps. So he went and started feeling. They were old tube amps. And he knew everything about them. And it was just amazing, you know, the intelligence that Doc Watson had. You know, I was really impressed.
Oh, that's great.
With Doc.
Yeah.
And, of course, loved his playing and those values that mountain folk, a lot of them are raised with, those family values, which are so precious. That,
yeah.
You know, that tradition that goes along with the music we should try to hang on to.
Indeed, indeed. And Beverly, you did some, you played some banjo with Merle, hanging out with him and such?
Oh, yeah. We just sit around and pick. And he picked up the banjo one day. Well, he played slide guitar so well.
Right.
And I said, do you slide on the banjo? I want to see what that sounds like. And he goes, okay. So he picks up. And it was awesome. I was like, I love that sound. Why don't you do that on stage? He goes, well, I don't think Daddy'd like it. And I was at a concert in Chapel Hill because my agent was also booking some things for Doc. And we were backstage. And it's one of those big old school rooms, you know, at the university, UNC. And he's on the other side of a crowded, loud room. And I'm standing at the door talking. And all of a sudden, he stopped and he went, is that Beverly Cotton? And I'm looking around like, did I have a microphone go over there? And I said, yeah. He said, get over here, girl. He heard my voice out of that cacophony of people talking to him in a huge room.
Amazing.
Tell you what.
Yeah.
Tell about what Merle said when they used to cut wood.
Oh, yeah. This is kind of a personal story, but he told me, you know, growing up there, and of course, Doc being blind, well, he woke up one morning right before the vaccine for polio made it to the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Right.
He woke up and couldn't move. You know, he had polio. And he said, you know, everybody, you know, was like, there was Doc and there, and then he was the boy and he couldn't walk. And he said, they worked around it. You know, Doc worked on his own roof and he would
amazing,
go up blind. Yeah. And so Merle said, Daddy would put me on his shoulders and guide me. I would guide him by his ears out to find a tree to cut down.
Wow.
He said he'd set me down because I couldn't walk. He'd cut down the tree, hitch it to him, put Merle back on his shoulders, and Merle would guide him back home by pulling on his ears which way to turn.
Now, there's another amazing image to have right there. Yeah. Wow.
I thought so.
Can you guys come in every Monday? We do this little spotlight on Doc. I bet every Monday we'll get a different story.
Well, we'd move back out here, but we have our last grandchild, and she's 8, and she's learning to do a little bit of playing, and she's just the light of our life, and that's
okay.
Why we won't leave Missouri.
Well, all right, then.
We have a son who lives in Bristol, Tennessee, and he is a captain in Sullivan County, Tri-Cities area, Sheriff's Department.
Oh, well, good
He's Dudley Do-Right.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
We thought he's going to be in jail.
Yeah.
When he was young.
Right. We're talking with Rodney and Beverly Dillard here on WNCW. They're in town for a show tonight with some bandmates talking about stories of way back in the days of the Dillards and the Darlings from the Andy Griffith Show and all you've been doing.
Yeah, it's, you know, I have tried over the years to make the audience involved in what we do, because I grew up with a family who played music, and it was all sort of interactive. And I really, really like that feel when you break that wall between the audience and you, and it becomes, you know, it just becomes like one thing. I don't want to get real philosophical here, but there's a synergy that develops that I just really enjoy relating. You know, a lot of time these big artists will treat an audience as one entity. But each one is individual, and I want to reach each one of those with stories and hopefully some humor, huh?
Huh, humor. Huh? Huh?
Something tells me you have a bit of a sense of humor, Rodney.
I have a couple of good, really good players. George Giddens is now playing with me. And Tony Ray, he has a group called Bluegrass Mafia.
Blue Mafia.
And he just toured with Dan Tominski when they went to Europe. And he plays with Dan Tominski a lot.
All right.
So, but I'm fortunate enough to be able to get the guys that I love to play with and who cut my new album with me. So.
And don't forget Dr. Gary.
Dr. Gary Smith. He's a doctor from Nashville.
Okay. Incredible bass player.
Wonderful bass
Bows
player.
Bows and everything.
So my music has, it sounds so arrogant, but it has some dimension to it that, you know, it doesn't sound like one continuous cut.
Yeah, right. Well, let's actually hear a couple of cuts, going back to one of the older tunes and maybe something from 1990 or so record, and we'll hear some of the newer stuff, too, from the Dillards here at WNCW. Let's start off with a classic. What do you think? Walking Down the Line, There Is a Time, or Dooley? Which one should we hear?
Whatever you think you can get away with.
Oh, we could get away with any of them. Let's go with this one.
I got a heavy-headed gal. She ain't a feeling well, when she's better, only time will tell.
Well, I'm walking down the line. I'm walking down the line. I'm walking down the line. My feet'll be a-flying to tell about my troubled mind.
My money comes and goes. My money comes and goes. My money comes and goes and rolls and flows and rolls and flows through the holes in the pockets of my clothes.
Well, I'm walking down the line. I'm walking down the line. I'm walking down the line. My feet'll be a-flying to tell about my troubled mind.
I see the morning light. I see the morning light. Well, it's not because I'm an early riser. I didn't go to sleep last night.
Well, I'm walking down the line. I'm walking down the line. I'm walking down the line. My feet'll be a-flying to tell about my troubled mind. Well, I'm walking down the line. I'm walking down the line. I'm walking down the line. My feet'll be a-flying to tell about my troubled mind.
We were all sitting out. Next of kin to the mandolin. what we'd found. And the dipper high in Missouri skies stopped to listen to the sound. While Doug and Dean and Mitch and me, like wild geese taking flight, borne on wings of banjo strings on a warm, dark Ozark night. Now years slip by and the weeds grow high around the old place back home, and you run and play like yesterday, but also I have grown.
But here we are together to reunite the sound.
Takes me away to yesterday and the porch when the sun went down.
We were best of friends on the porch back then. We were next of kin to the mandolin. We were best of friends on the porch back then. We were next of kin.
From the album Let It Fly from the Dillards, it's Ozark Nights on WNCW as we talk with Rodney Dillard and Beverly Cotton Dillard. And you picked that song because it kind of tells a little story, a little synopsis.
It does. And Herb Peterson, who, you know, had his own claim to fame with Desert Rose Band, and he sang on a lot of the major hits that came out of L.A., that people might not know.
Yeah.
But Herb was a great influence on me when he came into the group. He was just really an asset. His vocals and his ideas are just, you know, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's on my new album, too.
Oh, so, good. Yeah. So, yeah, you brought Herb Peterson back on to play banjo when your brother Doug left the Dillards.
Yes, and went
way
with
back
Gene
then.
Clark with the Birds.
And that class, yeah, you know, that was pretty cool. But the Wheat Straw Suite, that album featuring Herb Peterson on banjo, a huge one for you all.
It was.
A huge one for all of us that love the kind of fusion of country and rock and bluegrass going in new directions. Yeah, we've known Herb Peterson's work a lot over the years, and he's on this new one from you that'll be coming out sometime.
Yeah. Yes. It's called Old Road New Again.
All right. Okay. Cool.
And we'll probably get it out eventually. It's got some friends on it.
Yeah.
That we've known over the years.
Oh, like Sam Bush you mentioned, right?
Sam's on it. Andy Leftwich with Ricky Skaggs' band, and Ricky and the Whites.
Oh, good.
And Don Henley of the Eagles, and Bernie Ledden of the Eagles.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. Produced by Bill Vorndyk has produced a lot of major. He's had like 12 Grammys.
Oh, great!
And it was great. I had a wonderful time with that and the people too. Anymore, when you first start out playing, you're trying so hard to make it, air quotes.
Yeah.
And sometimes you forget what the music really is all about. And then that can happen, especially if you're competing and you're on a major label and they want you to sell records. And then they start telling you, you know, let's do the formula so you can have a hit. Well, we never did follow that. We always marched to the tune, you know, sound of a different drum, you know. And so we'd never really got along with the majors that much, except for Elektra. Elektra Records and Jack Holzman had a lot of faith in us. And so that's why we did several records with them. And, of course, a couple other, Capitol and United Artists and some of those. But I really didn't find my niche, I think, till later on with what's the name of the label, Bruce's label?
Oh,
Flying Fish
yeah, Records. Oh, that was a good one. Yeah,
yeah, Bruce and I had a great relationship. But it's just been an interesting run, and it's been great to get back with Herb again. And
well, of all the different styles we cover here at WNCW, the one that's kind of central to a lot of it is this section we have. You'll see the CDs right outside the air studio, and it's sort of a progressive acoustic or newgrass section, speaking of Sam Bush. And you, Rodney, and your band over the years has been a key part in that fusing bluegrass and country music with rock and more progressive styles. And I really appreciate you with your creativity you've had over the years.
Well, that's really nice of you, and I don't take anything for granted, and that really means a lot to me, because back in those days, I still have the emotional bruises from the traditionalists.
Yes.
And mainly, I got to tell you, out of New York, because there was a lot, not all of them, but there was some of those folks who really needed something that they could hold on to help secure their own identity. And they would review me and say, the first album we ever did, because it had Echo on it. They said, well, when did you have Echoes on, on a back porch?
Right.
Well, did they ever step out on a mountain and yell?
There you go.
And that's all they could find that was not traditional, was the Echo on the records. And so that sent a little semi-war off with me and the Yankee press.
Yeah. Well, having the great long tenure of being in the Andy Griffith Show and all the exposure there, I reckon that helped you be able to say, like, you know, let's do it this way. And the Andy Griffith Show, the fact that it just keeps on airing, you're able to bring in new fans all the time.
It's nuts. I kind of equate it to if you all are old enough to remember the Rocky Horror Show, when they would all come and throw things and dress as the characters. Hmm. Well, Mayberry, in a positive, beautiful way, you know, their children come. You have these little kids now who know and can quote from the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not a bad thing, because that show did represent family values.
Indeed.
And in a time when things were just a little bit less chaotic. And we all look for that because, as you know, we are in a very precarious time in our lives here in the whole world. Mm-hmm. And it's just nice to have something like that that you can relate to and put your kids in front of and not have any problem.
And your band on the Andy Griffith Show, the Darling Family, actual pickers there playing songs, and you all would go and visit with Andy, and you kind of were carrying on the mountain traditions on the Andy Griffith Show. Here was this little town, more in, I guess, the Piedmont foothills, the imaginative, yeah, Mayberry, but you all were keeping the mountain traditions alive. And you were talking about how much you appreciate Doc Watson doing that back in the day. And that seems like that was a significant thing, to keep mountain traditions alive through this show.
Oh, mountain traditions. You know, what I've always disliked about Hollywood was the fact, even in the 40s, they were making fun of people who grew up in the mountains, you know, that they were depicted as wearing these tall, funny hats and chasing their sister and drinking out of jugs, you know, laying in the front yard with their dog. And that was so offensive to me, because most of the salt of the earth and the integrity and the value system come out of rural people who really understand life and death and realize that chickens don't come in a package in parts.
Yeah.
And since we've lost that tradition, are losing it, we're like floundering. You know, it's like spacewalking without a tether in the society. I shouldn't go off on that. Are you kicking me on the shin?
No, but Andy knew that, and of course, so he depicted it. He depicted everything the way it really was in the South, in a small town, and rural people.
See, and he recognized that, and that's why when we went into audition for him, which was scaring us all to death, because we'd just gotten out there and got a call to go audition for Andy Griffith, because he had a script that said, the Darlings are coming. And he said, well, call these boys up, because they had printed a little blurb in Variety that says, Elektra Records has signed these weird-looking guys from the mountains who play this really funny kind of music.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, back then it doesn't have the popularity that it does now. We got called in. They were shooting an episode where Barney was trying to figure out who's singing off in the choir. Of course, it was him. And Andy stopped, sat down in front of us, and said, show us what you got. We started playing. He slapped his leg, got up, and said, that's it. And I thought he was kicking us out. He said, where are you going? You got the job.
Oh, wonderful.
Supposed to only do one episode, but they had such response that we continued on.
Yeah. How many episodes?
We did 5 and the movie.
Okay.
We did one a year for the last, you know, that before the executive of CBS decided he didn't like hillbilly shows and pulled them all.
Yeah. Talking with Rodney Dillard and Beverly Cotton Dillard here on WNCW. The Dillards playing tonight at the Gray Eagle in Asheville. Got time for a couple more tunes, including a rather modern one from them. But first, let's go back to, 1964 with this one. There Is a Time on WNCW.
There is time for love and laughter. The days will pass like summer storms. The winter wind will follow after. But there is love and love is warm. There is a time for us to wander. When time is young and so are we. The woods are greener over yonder. The path is new, the world is free. The time when leaves are falling, the woods are gray, the paths are old. The snow will come when geese are calling. You need a fire against the cold. There is a time for us to wander. When time is young and so are we. The woods are greener over yonder. The path is new, the world is free. Roaming in the springtime, and you'll find your love and the summer sun. The frost will come and bring the harvest, and you can sleep when day is done.
There is a time for us to wander. When time is young and so are we. The woods are greener over yonder. The path is new, the world is free. The path is new, the world is free.
Playing golf where we used to bale our hay. They don't like our pink flamingos or the outhouse when the wind blows. We're starting to feel out of place. There goes neighborhood. They don't have tires on their homes.
There goes neighborhood.
Don't want to keep up with the Jones.
When they mowed all our yards,
they found our old cars. There goes neighborhood. They're driving their new sports utility vans. Always got a mobile phone in their hands. They got a pocket full of money, but Lord, it sure seems funny. They're never in the sun, but how they tan. There goes neighborhood.
They don't have tires on their homes.
There goes neighborhood.
Don't want to keep up with the Joneses.
When they mowed all our yards,
they found our old cars.
There goes neighborhood. Talk about doing lunch all the time. Seems like eating's always on their mind. They don't like meat or Coca-Cola. It's Perrier and granola. Pickled pig's feet is getting hard to find. There goes neighborhood.
They don't have tires on their homes.
There goes neighborhood.
Don't want to keep up with the Joneses.
When they mowed all the yards,
they found our old cars.
There goes neighborhood. Neighborhood.
A couple of tunes from the Dillards on WNCW, going back to the early days in the 60s with There Is a Time, which all you fans of the Andy Griffith Show were singing along with. I heard you. And There Goes the Neighborhood from Rodney Dillard and the Dillard Band. And that album, I Wish Life Was Like Mayberry,
That song is my comment on urban sprawl.
Okay.
And, you know, it's really true. I woke up one morning after living in a pristine area and had been mauled.
Yeah.
There was a mall here and a mall there and a mall, yeah. And so I just, that was my comment about that. And maybe what we're doing to the planet, you know?
Indeed, indeed. So you cover current events and such on your Dillard material.
Very carefully.
Yes, you got to be deft.
Anymore, you have to be very careful what you say.
Yeah. And so this is from, when did this come out? About 8 years ago, something like that.
Was it that long?
Something like that, 2010.
Wow.
And now you've got a new one that's been recorded, all wrapped up, everything but the bow on it.
Yeah.
It hasn't quite been released, but it will be soon.
It will be soon. It's ready to go.
Okay.
Yep. Good. It's got a lot of good people on it. It's got Henley and Ricky Skaggs on it.
Yeah.
And a neat thing, it's got a combination of clawhammer banjo and cello, which is gorgeous.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And then now this album that we just heard from, it wraps up with a little symphonic suite. And you were telling me that you're working on plans to do more collaborations with symphonies in the future.
Which one are you playing?
Mentioning that you like that Wet Shoes in the Sunset suite.
Yeah.
That's on this album that we just heard from.
Yes. Yeah. I it's very possible. When you start, to me, putting music in categories and pigeonholing it, therefore, the growth and creativity of music seems to... But we do want to hang on traditions, but you can still have traditional and still, you know, grow. You know, you can't museum everything.
It sounds like you frequently still have conversations with folks about this kind of debate. We do at the radio station.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I never want to offend people who love... I grew up with this music. My mom and dad played old-time music, and I love it. But that doesn't mean I have to become a pastel drawing of the people who created that, like Monroe and the Blue Sky Boys and Don Reno Ritz, you know, those guys.
Yeah.
And you can move on. And I love to see these young people now who are taking the music and adding their different things to it. There's a lot of young groups out there that are really quite creative with the music.
So you follow a lot of these new bands, the infamous String Dusters and Steep Canyon Rangers, and friends of ours.
Yeah.
And you like what's happening.
Yeah.
Huh?
In my mind, my age is still very open. I never want to be brittle because when that happens, you know, things just close down. So I'm always open to new things, new ideas, and new food.
And new food, of course. Well, we find the music and food go well together.
Yeah. Of course, Rolling Stone magazine back in the day called him the father of country rock.
Yeah.
And what was funny, when he went to tour London, and they called him the grandfather of country rock.
Ha, ha, ha,
yeah.
Ha.
Well, you know.
You know.
You skip a generation here or there.
But the people who want to go back and find, see, it all spirals. It just cycles, but it spirals. The new generation wanting to go back and find it and not listen to just stuff that's all been pre-tuned, you know. Anymore, you can listen to the radio and it sounds like an air conditioner hum because everything's pre-tuned. I can hear it the minute it hits that, the pre-tuned deal. Mm-hmm. And these kids are really, again, looking for something real because it's all styrofoam and plastic and throwaway. We live in a throwaway society now. Which means everything is temporal, nothing lasts. And that, I think, can lead to a social insecurity. And people start looking ways to get out of that. And sometimes there's negative ways, but we must look at the positive ways of dealing with that.
And music is one.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you got to think back the way you changed, but further back, Earl Scruggs. He took North Carolina two-finger picking and clawhammer and develop bluegrass banjo style. And because a tradition is people interacting and adding to.
Yeah, and Earl, you know, Earl and I traveled together, and I cut an album with him, and I had a wonderful time with him. He was a genius. But he said, when I started playing banjo, he said, I was just playing an instrument. I wasn't playing It was just an instrument. And he had no parameters that he had to deal with. So he had an open highway to be creative, and boy, he did. And that's one of the, that's it in a nutshell to me. Limitations breed style.
We're talking with Ronnie Dillard and Beverly Cotton Dillard here on WNCW. And, you know, you joked about how when you went out to was it L.A. where the Ash Grove was, and you found all these folks talking about existential philosophy, and you were like, huh? I get the feeling some of it has rubbed off on you over the years. You do a good job of tying in all these different topics and themes and seeing how they're related.
Rodney is not only, I can say this because I'm the wife and not him, a musical genius, but he studies constantly.
He's a thinker, isn't he?
He's a thinker. He's a studier. And, I mean, he's just got such a brain.
That's not true. I mean, just because I contemplate the bifurcation of the universe and wondering if CERN is doing the right thing with the electron the proton collider, and the fact that nobody knows where an atom comes from and where it goes, but it goes and comes.
It's kind of like Cotton Eye Joe. Where does it come from?
Where'd you go?
Did we just tie in all that stuff with Cotton Eye Joe?
Yes.
Okay, well...
It always comes down to it because you got to add it up, otherwise we'd all go crazy. Well, the bottom line is, after an extreme argument, because otherwise you're left out there floating on the sea of hoo-ha.
A little preview of what will be discussed in the debate forum tonight, located at the Gray Eagle in Asheville, when these nuts here play with the Dillards for 8 o'clock show. It's a lot of music and a lot of discussion, too. Some old stories and, I guess, philosophy.
There'll be a lot of fun. And we'll do some sing-alongs, too, with the old tunes that people like. You know, Follow Good. The Bouncing Ball. You know.
Oh, yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. That's you. Okay, that's Beverly, yeah.
But I tell you, you are really fun to interview with, because, you know, it's just neat to where you can start feeling comfortable enough to, you know, they don't have anybody looking at you in this sardonic sort of cynical way.
You're not
like that. You know,
the Ray look.
You could be network announcer. Your brain is wasted here.
Well, if your people would talk to my people, that'd be great, Rodney. Rodney and Beverly Dillard here on WNCW. Thank you so much for coming in here this morning. I feel like we're just getting started, but actually, let's get you back on the road to Asheville, and we'll get on the road to NPR and news headlines, and then a whole day of music. The Dillards tonight at the Gray Eagle in Asheville. Thanks again for coming in here.
Thank you. Martin rules.
Thanks.
It's Doug's Tune from the Dillards here, featuring a toy guitar. WNCW Spindale, WSIF Wilkesboro. News headlines on the way. And then Andrew's in for a couple hours of good tunes. Thanks again to Rodney Dillard and Beverly Cotton Dillard. And they're tonight in Asheville at the Gray Eagle.